Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
What is up, everybody? Welcome into another episode of Reseller's Mindset Podcast. Mike sitting next to Johnny over here. I'm in outer space for those watching in YouTube. Today is a fun one because I had life happen to me 2 weeks ago and I kind of took my foot off the gas, which is why we do this, right? To be able to take time off. And I was back out there for the first time and I was thrifting and I wanted to like, what's the one thing that makes this reselling business work? There is only one thing, and that's the person that has their earbud in or is watching right now on YouTube. It is yourself, right? Because I always think to myself, am I some special unicorn? Like, and in my mind, I always think anybody can do this, Johnny, right? Like anybody can start this business today. But the reality is I was sitting there and it was my first long thrifting day back out. And I was thinking to myself, like, you know how easy it would be for me just to go home right now, Johnny, get under my Snuggie and turn on Unsolved Mysteries and forget thrifting for the rest of the day. You got to have some type of like, I don't know, some kind of hustle muscle, wherewithal, get out there and get it. Because if not, nothing happens. I got nothing to send.
I think my main takeaway on this is that you have a Snuggie.
Dude. I don't have it. I usually have it on my chair behind me. I love those things, dude. Actually, I stole Deb's because I, for some reason, something happened with mine. I don't know. Anyway, we're way off track here. You got to be out there getting things, dude. You got to, it all comes down to you. And it's so easy to make an excuse and just chalk up a day and not, well, I'm not going to do anything today. Well, if you don't do anything today, you might not feel it today. Like in Amazon land, like if we take time off, you don't feel it like the same day. It's not like your sales fall off a cliff, but it's going to catch up to you.
Absolutely. I mean, when we get in the realm of comfortability, the checks are coming in on a steady basis, roughly the same. We feeling pretty good. And we think to ourselves, maybe I don't work as hard today. That is, you're tampering with a slippery slope there. Because if you do that consistently, like maybe you were taking no days off and now you're taking 5 days off a month, or yeah, you know what? Let's do the weekends now. I don't want to work on the weekends. You're going to see the results of that start to come in and you're going to start getting paid less and less and less. What our fathers have done and our grandfathers and grandmothers and mothers have done is they work really hard and they put it into savings, right? Well, this is the same concept. We work really hard to get bigger and bigger payouts, and then our bigger payouts we can allocate to savings of our choice or investments of our choice. We have a leg up because they have a cap on their salary checks. We have no cap. We work as hard as we can, and we can make as much money as we can. Now, that's saying your business is on point, and you aren't doing your business wrong. You're not selling dollar items, essentially. I mean, you can. You just do a million of them. Sure, that's fine. But unless you're slinging a million items a year, you're not there and you're not the person I'm talking to right now. A person I'm talking to, you're sending in low margin things. You're taking anything with an e-score, sales score of one, and you're sending that in and hoping for the best. That's not going to pan out in the long term. And especially if you're taking every other day off, you're really not going to see it and you're going to be hurting pretty hard, I think, especially with things get more and more expensive year after year. That's just the nature of, well, us, the reality, the world, it's how it works.
Hey, Amazon said they're not raising fees in 2025, dude. We should have did a whole podcast episode on that. Everybody, listen, the big bad monster that me and Johnny work for, that's the greediest corporation in the universe, said, hey, we're not raising fees in 2025. We should just make a whole clickbait now. I do think
But they put all fees in 2024.
Yeah, true. They
for 2 years of fees in 1 year.
They front loaded the contract we signed. It's tough because it's so much easier to just call it a day when things aren't going your way. Or I do think another problem people fall into is when they're not out there consistently and things don't start, like their sales aren't going up, they're not getting results, they try to look for shortcuts like immediately, right? It's like, well, I can't find stuff at the thrift store. And immediately it's like, well, what's the shortcut to that? Well, I need to start buying in bulk. And like, no, because if you don't have the diligence to actually get out there and scan items, and I think about this all the time, right? There's people out there that don't scan everything. And somebody commented on the YouTube channel and said, right, because we're just scanning things with the little Bluetooth scanner that you guys see on YouTube. And they're like, well, Mike, you know, you've been doing this for so long. Are you still scanning the majority of your items? And the answer is yes, right? Like, I know the ones that suck, right? We're never going to scan Nora Roberts unless it's large print or unless it's a DVD. We're never going to scan James Patterson or things like that. So my response was, I still scan 90% of everything that's out there. And that probably blows people's minds that, hey, why are you still scanning 90%? You've been doing this for over 5 years. Well, the market's always changing. You don't know what the trends are. You don't know what's selling. And sure, I know the ones that are dead in the water, Susan Boyle, right? Like, we're never scanning that CD, but you don't know the trends that are going on behind the scenes. And that's how I got my inventory to 5,000 items. So if we just do quick math, usually the accept rate's under 10%. We'll just say 5%. So to get 5,000 items, I technically would have to scan like 200,000 items. So, and that's just the ones that are actively sitting there, not the ones I sold. The only way you make more money in this game is consistently scanning more inventory. And the only way you scan more inventory is if your ass is consistently at the stores scanning more inventory. And for those of you that know, I'm not crazy, right? Johnny's talking about people that, you know, take every other day off. I mean, I'm out thrifting 2 days a week, but I have it and I'm committed to those 2 days. If I was the person, I was like, all right, I'm my two thrifting days. And then one of my thrifting days, I just call it quits after the first store halfway through. Then that's where my ship starts to sink. But I think people can't even get over the initial hurdle of just going into one store and not finding much. And then they just call it a day and then they expect things to magically happen.
Right. I mean, if you're front loading the work, like in your scenario, thrifting 2 days a week, you're doing good, hard 8 hour days, no bullshit, and bringing back as much as you can to give you a full week worth of processing and shipping and
Yep.
anything else that comes along with the disc cleaning if you're into disc media. That's an entirely different situation. That's like somebody ordering a truckload of, well, Gaylords. And then they process it for the rest of the week if they got a large team. It's the same deal, just on a smaller level, because you're doing it all yourself. You got to do all the work. Mike doesn't have the convenience of a full truckload coming in every week, nor would he want that probably.
What do you tell yourself, dude, right? Because you're different than me, right? A lot of the inventory you deal with shows up at your door. Like, what do you tell yourself when you're having one of these days and you're like, Johnny does not want to go work today, right? And you're just like, it's tough for me because when I was out the other day, it was freezing cold, dude. It's like sleeting rain. And I'm like, man, this sucks. But then I think to myself, like, what other job in the world can I go to stupid thrift stores? And I only went to like eight thrift stores that day. I don't even think it was eight. It might have been six or seven. And what other job in the universe can I just go out for a day and potentially an estimated profit bring home like $2,000, right? And that's what kind of motivates me is because I think it's another thing because I'm a jaded, not jaded, I don't know. I'm molded a different way because I came from nothing. Like I'm used to being broke. Like I'm used to having $0 and zero. I'm used to working shitty jobs. So like this is like when I'm down in the gutter, I'm like, hey, Mike, hold up here. It could be worse, guy. We're not going home. You could be going to CVS. You could be at CVS. And Deb tells me this all the time. Like, you could be at CVS, dude. And I'm like, shit, you ain't wrong. Like, as much as this sucks some days, I mean, for what we do and the money we make, now I'll take it every single day. So that's kind of like my reminder when I'm out and I'm down in the dumps and I'm just like, I got to keep going today. Like, really? Like, I'm in the car by myself contemplating my whole life situation. But yeah, that's what kind of keeps me going. But it might be different for you because it's all at your door. So, like, at least I'm out getting some fresh air. You're still sucking in the same crummy air.
I just live in the bat cave or the book cave, however you want to call it. Well, a couple things. One, the only other job like this is sales, and like it a lot, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the business of sales, but we're also a 3PL of sorts. We're just our own client. Third party logistics, shipping and all that, for those that aren't aware of what I just said by 3PL. And as far as the sucky days, like I just don't want to do the same grind every day. There are benefits we have versus the workforce. I like listening to music really loud. Mike's called me a lot and asked if I'm in the club at points because I haven't muted the radio when I answered his call because my music's better than whatever Mike has to say. But or I'll listen to a podcast to get me remotivated. Somebody with just spitting positivity or spitting in my face, you're doing it wrong. Get your ass up, get to work. Something to charge me up. And also I attend calls like these because I'll hear somebody having a really good time. And you know what? I kind of want to destroy them and do better than what they're doing. That's my personal motivation. If you're not a competitive person, that may not do anything for you, but music or podcasts or motivational things like that, or maybe giving your buddy a call. Mine's Mike over here. When I'm having a real shit time, I'll give Mike a call, bitch, for a minute, and he'll tell me to get back to work, and that's good enough for me.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Everybody should just have the Rocky montage when he's training in Russia before he fights Ivan Drago and he's out in the snow like pulling trailers and everything. Like, I do think you need some of that sometimes because if you don't go, the business don't go, and it might not be an instant effect, but it is a trap that resellers fall into because you are the business, right? Like, if I don't go out and do this, and sure, if we look at kind of where your business wants to be in the future, where you can take a step back because you don't want to have to be involved every single day to keep the money coming in. And that would be amazing, right? Like, if I didn't have to actually go out, maybe I hired sorcerers to go do that, but that takes money. And I do think that gets me to another thing is resellers are so quick to like try to hire somebody and like try to not continue to do the work, but still keep the money the same. I think that's a huge, huge misstep in the beginning. And so many people are like, well, I don't want to scan or I don't want to source or I'm going to hire this person. I'm just like, why? Like, we have the potential to have seven-figure businesses just by ourselves, but we ain't even doing six figures and we want to start hiring out some of this stuff. A part of the business is a part of the business, right? When you have any job, you have a list of duties. Well, it's the same way in reselling. And sure, you're not going to enjoy every single one of them. I hate pulling out the JFJ machine to do it. That's why I do it once a month. I keep a little pile. You just have to figure out ways to make it suck less and realize no matter what you do in life, some part of it is going to suck. Like, until you get to the point where you're so filthy rich that you don't have to do nothing, you got a manager that runs your whole business and you just get a paycheck. Guess what? This is it. Like, this is reselling. You have to scan, you have to source. And not only that, you got to list it. There's so much that goes in. It's like the idea that reselling is passive income. It's so scammy. I'm just like, this is the opposite because if you don't go, the business doesn't go. And there's days where it sucks, but you got to get through it, man. You just got to power through.
Right. And my next statement, since we use these terms a lot on the cast, part-timers and hobbyists, and more so the part-timers not trying to become full-timers. You just want supplementary income. And hobbyists, you do whatever hobbyists do. So what I'm about to say does not apply to you. If you're wanting to go up as far as what you do and have your ultimate freedom, you just have to work it. And if you treat like your former job, you're miserable there. You're miserable doing reselling. And you are not determined to change your life. I don't think reselling is for you, honestly. You just need to stop now. If you walk in the door grumbly every day and never had, this feels good. Even when the money rolls in, and then you're like, maybe you have a maybe 2 hours of excitement, and that fades away. And if you're not driven by more work activity to grow even more, and you're doing this full time or you're part time trying to make this full time, you're completely miserable. Just stop now. Get out. Nothing's ever going to change for you. Me, if I'm having low sales or, hey, I did really well this year, I want to go up by 20% next year. And that doesn't drive you. get out, stop, go get another job.
See, that there's caveats, because people that there's a lot of people that make good money, but they don't have nothing to show on the back end, right? Like me and Johnny try to talk about, like, all right, we're doing this to make money. Well, what is our next goal besides to make money? You can't just increase your lifestyle. That's like the biggest trap in the universe of the in the universe, in the history of the universe, because if you make more money, you spend more money, you got nothing extra coming in to kind of get ahead, right? And a lot of it is personal experience. Like, I don't know. Did you think resellers, the majority of resellers, just ain't got it in them to make this a business?
Yes, I do. Anybody calls himself a reseller, if we're speaking to those people and you ask the majority, like in your question there, I would say yes, the answer is absolute. The money to me is a barometer of a goal I'm trying to reach, because the money usually means a goal, whether that's an employee, whether that's a bigger facility, whether that's purchasing more items to process versus, hey, it's a floating number that's up there. It doesn't do anything for me. All my bills are paid. I have excess money. Or maybe it's an investment. That's more of a positive than negative. But if you're not angling some kind of goal throughout the year, throughout the month, throughout the next 5 years, I don't think you're going to be successful. The money is a gauge to see where you can check off a goal on your master plan list, your business plan, more or less. And if you're not doing that, you should start now. What are the goals for your business? And the money is just a means to that end, in my opinion.
I do think it's kind of like why we, resellers mindset podcast. I think a lot of it is your mindset, but I do think you have the challenge that society tries to mold you into just being normal, right? Like being in debt up to your eyeballs, just basically barely getting by. I think that's kind of the big thing here, right? Like everything around you is just to keep you barely getting by, barely getting by. And if you've always been that way, we've all been there before. A lot of us, most resellers came from nothing, right? Dead broke. Like we're operating in the negative every single month. You have to take advantage of this, right? That's what wakes me up when I'm out there and I'm like, man, today sucks. And I think to myself, well, it could be a lot more suckier than it is. Like this is stupid that I can sell this junk I sell for the money I can get for it. But like I said, yet again, I've come from nothing, right? Like I remember the days where literally, I would get paid every 2 weeks at CVS. Before CVS, I worked at Kmart. And Deb would keep a paper book, just like a paper little notebook here, like the one I'm about to show you guys in the YouTube universe. One of my
This
favorites.
one, I got one too.
Mine's a cooler, dude. I got killer clowns. You
My
got plain
mine's something I found in a box.
Jane.
I don't buy shipping supplies, I just get them with the books.
She literally would have every 2 week paycheck done for the whole year with every bill written out. Like that is how penny pinching dollar aware we were to get out of the situation. And it wasn't one of these things where 1 year and magically we're making, all this extra money's coming in. It probably took us 8, 9 years to clear all the debts we had to just be able to kind of breathe a little bit. So this idea that this instant gratification, you have to think that you're building towards something at the end of the rainbow. And I do think that's another important thing when you do have these down times is like, well, imagine what this business could be if I keep being consistent for the next 6 months, the next year, the next 5 years, the 10-year plan you probably have in the back of your mind. That's what should really motivate you.
Right. And if you're a person that has debt, whether it's credit card, a mortgage, a massive car payment because you bought the Lambo in your 20s because you were 20 years old, that could be a goal too, is to get out of that debt. And if you have a lot of debt, pick the lowest one. And for those who don't know, you always pick the lowest debt thing you could pay off because it goes away faster because it's less money, for those that needed some mathemation there. Pick a line item that hurts you every month. It should hurt. Bills hurt. They always hurt. So pick the lowest one, or pick the one you need off your plate. Just have a inhale, exhale, everything's all right moment. You need those little moments in life, or else you're getting beat up day after day and you see no way out. The people may remember the term rat race from a long time ago, and that's what it is. Until you start fixing your circumstance, Maybe that's waking up an extra hour and putting that into your business, or staying up an extra hour and putting that into your business, changing a source. So you can get out of these rat race moments. And then once you're out of that rat race moment, hey, all my debts are paid. The mortgage is paid. My credit card bills are gone. My student loan's gone. Then you can start, what are my goals? You can't really see your goals because of the pit you've dug for yourself, whether intentional or not. Until you're out of that hole, okay, what do I want to do? I'm out of the hole now. Let me noodle on that for maybe a week or a month or 6 months. Figure out what you want to do. Maybe you want a big house. Maybe you want that forever home. Or maybe you want that warehouse because you're like, I love this. This got me out of debt. I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I want a team. Or I want to have a big storage area on my property to store all my eBay or my merchant or cross-listing items, whatever it is. Or maybe it's bringing on staff members. It doesn't matter. You can't see clearly until you're out of that hole. So you need to work on that. How are you going to get yourself out? And unfortunately, hate to say it, it's going to require your back and your knees crackling a lot.
I think you're right. I don't think. I know you're right. And you have to accept the fact that sometimes to get out of your circumstance or your situation, it's going to take a good amount of time, right? Like, it's just life happens. You get beat up, you feel like you're making ground, and you get knocked right back down. And it's funny because Johnny's like, oh, just do more work, do more work. I listen, you know, everybody knows I don't mess around with any debt or anything. And one of my favorite things Dave Ramsey says to people is, you won't die from working too much. Right before you die, there's this little thing called passing out, and you'll be A-okay, right? So, like, there's always... we're not sitting here telling you like you got to be out there like 24 sitting down. No, that's not, because I already told you all earlier, that ain't me, right? Like, I'm not out there in the trenches every single day hustling, but that came with years of refining processes and getting myself in a situation where everything takes time. Every good thing, every good business takes time to grow because you're always going to be learning. But if you aren't checked in, that's it. Like you said, do you really want this? And you answered the question for me, because now I don't have to take the heat of saying, you know, resellers, they just ain't cut out for it, because I was going to say that. But I think I was going to start doing anything controversial, because I know you're going to answer the same thing I'm going to answer. I'll just ask the question to you. So, like, Johnny's the bad guy. I never say anything negative about resellers.
Yeah.
I do think, though, right, most people aren't cut out for this. And it's not that they're just not cut out. Like, I'm not sitting here saying people don't have the work ethic. I think people don't have the consistency that comes behind the work ethic to turn this into a business, you know, 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, over 5 years, like I have, because it's the same stores, dude. 5 years, Johnny, I'm walking in the same stores. I know the layouts like the back of my hand. I probably have the maps memorized inside of my head. It's funny. Me and Deb were driving back yesterday. We went out, and it was some thrift store she hasn't been in a while. And she can recall, like, what the inside of the thrift store looks like from when I last took her scanning. And that's me. That's it. I drive the same roads. I go to the same stores. There's nothing new. There's nothing exciting. So, like, why am I motivated to keep doing this? Well, like Johnny said, it's the money. But if you're making the money and you don't feel like you're making the money, right, like, if you can't afford things still and you're working harder than you ever have, then you got to figure out a way to kind of get out of that, because there ain't no point in working super hard if you ain't got nothing to show for it.
Right. And by hard, I mean, okay, maybe you start off working. I'm going to assume you jumped into full time here when I make this statement. You're working 14, 16 hour days. You feel like you're burning the midnight oil. Where are the rewards for it? Well, maybe you should take your 14, 16 hour day and figure out how to do that same workload in 8 hours. And that comes with refining processes, doing research, buying a tool, improving processes, maintaining more consistency. Maybe you need to work on your scheduling, or all of that combined makes your work-life balance easy. I guarantee you, Mike's processes when he first started are not the same process here today, nor are mine. We figure out how to make the suck less suck the best we can. We're constantly tweaking the dials. And if you're able to do more in less time, or same in less time, that's how you get better at this business. Then if you want to put in the extra, like you've done it to the T, okay, let's increase the volume, or let's increase the sourcing time, which then is going to break what you built up to perfection, and then you're going to need to perfect it again. And that's what we mean by always refining our processes, because we get to this point of there's nothing left to refine. Everything's perfect. I got all the tools, I got all the people, I got all the space, I got all the sourcing down. Great. I want to go bigger. But once you go bigger, I'm telling you, it breaks it all down, because something that you built breaks, and then you're back to let me fix it to make it better again.
All right, so Johnny made his controversial statement that most resellers just aren't cut out for this, and I'm going to make mine. Most resellers don't appreciate the opportunity that reselling presents to you because we think it sucks, and there's plenty of people, millions, billions of people out there that have it worse off than the person that thinks reselling sucks today. There is so many situations that could be a lot worse. There are so many different jobs that would suck, right? Like, instead of reselling, why don't you go clean toilets? Like, why don't you go be a trash person where you're throwing heavy bags all day long of other people's trash? Like, I don't think we appreciate reselling as much as we should because the opportunity is so stupid to me that I can just go scan things at a store and make money just based off retail arbitrage. And it's nuts. I don't think we appreciate it, man. I think we just think that, oh, well, it's reselling, and we're almost like it's almost this entitled mindset, and I don't think we take enough appreciation into the opportunity reselling presents to kind of change your financial goals and, change your, get you out of a job you hate like it did for me, or whatever your why may be. I don't think we appreciate that it presents that opportunity, no matter what the situation.
Right. I mean, I mentioned it earlier with my analogy here. We don't have a cap on our paycheck. There's none. There's you and the work you put in, or you and the work your team puts in. You can make it's unlimited. Unlimited. And it's just figuring out how to increase it exponentially. That's a hard part. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. That's a hard part to figure out. Because you can't double your income every year without making concessions. Like, okay, now I've done as much as humanly possible. Let me bring in another human. Well, that other human costs money. So trying to double with somebody else that has expense that you're doing an expense line item, it gets a harder task to do. And then trying to double again. Okay, there's two of us. Let me bring in two more. Oh, that's hard, because now your costs have gone up, because you gotta supply these three other people with stuff to process and or clean or do shipments, whatever. It's a harder game to play, and it gets harder and harder with each little bump you go up in the business. But if you have a plan and you know your numbers and can math things out, which is very important, do not shortcut knowing your numbers, please, or else you will go out of business. Then you can make it a little easier every time. But the thinking part, the critical thinking part, that's on you to figure out, unfortunately. There's no YouTube video, there's no blueprint, there's no copy paste. You have to figure that out, because everybody's circumstances, I'm not talking about financial here, just how they're set up between sourcing, where they're working out of, equipment, software, it's all different. There's so many combinations. So my workflow probably wouldn't work for Mike. Mike's workflow probably wouldn't work for me, because we're set up differently. We're also geography plays a thing in here. I'm rural. Mike's kind of less rural than I am, so it's different. Maybe I have to go out further than Mike, or maybe Mike has to hit thrift stores and I got to hit, I don't know, estate sales. It's a whole different game, a whole different formula. So that's why it's not copy paste.
I will say this, if I had to be out in thrift stores 40 plus hours a week and make the money I make, I probably would just get a job. Like,
Yeah.
I know that might sound weird to some people, but like, if I had to be in thrift stores for 40, 50, 60 hours a week to make the same income I make now, like I probably would get a job, because that's the whole point of me getting into reselling was to get my life back and make more money than I was making at CVS. I've accomplished both of those things, but that doesn't stop me, right? Johnny says we're always looking for other goals and other things like that. I think we just get stuck in this rut of you feel like you're working, and like Johnny said, you're not working on nothing. You're just wasting damn time. Because how many people say I'm a full-time reseller? Well, give me like your timestamps for what you're doing throughout every day, because we're just wasting time. And at the end of the day, if you're wasting time, there ain't nobody else to blame. There ain't no boss. There's no company that's going to keep paying you your paycheck every 2 weeks, every day. You don't do it, you don't get paid. And Johnny said you ain't cut out for it. I said, I think we're in a society where we're so accustomed to always just barely making ends meet. But I do think 100% there's a path forward. You just have to be strategic. And it's that idea where I forget what the actual number is, but they say like your first $1 million is like the hardest to make, right? And then like once you cross that threshold, it kind of gets easier. It might be 10 million, I don't know.
It's 10. Your first 10 mil is hard.
There you go. And then after that, all of a sudden, right? Like it just kind of makes sense. So you got to have that. It's the same when we started. Your first $100 day, that's going to be the hardest. And then your $500 day, then your $1,000 day. But as long as you're progressing towards something, and if you're consistent in a way that makes sense, because consistency, if you're consistently wasting time in this business, it means nothing, right? You can spend 1,000 hours a week reselling. If you're just wasting it on things, low value products that are never going to sell, that doesn't matter. If you're consistent in a way that actually makes sense and is actually going to boost your bottom line, you're going to get results, but it's a matter of time. And we can't wait, Johnny. We live in a world, instant gratification. If I don't get it this week, next week, then I'm out, dude. Why am I going to sit around and wait for it?
Right. And I think I asked a similar question to Tech when we had him on. And it was like getting the first 100K. If you're not getting 100K just yet in sales, just doesn't apply to you. But getting that first 100K, if you're at that point, trying to get several hundred thousand is really hard. And then getting that first million in sales, I know very few people have even done that, by the way. But those people who are able to go from the multi hundreds of thousands in sales to the million in sales, what I notice is they just never stop going, like Energizer bunnies, more so than me even. But the 100,000 or multi $100,000 people, they tend to struggle of what, why am I growing more slowly? Well, it's because you haven't made a gigantic jump, in my opinion, too. We're doubling the amount of sourcing. And to compensate for that, we're bringing in some more employees, but maybe they can't afford that yet. So they're on hold. So they got to have their capital come in order to execute. And once they execute, it'll be a little while for everything to catch up because your expenses have increased. Oh, so now I'm doing 300,000 instead of 200,000. Great. Now I need to get an extra 200,000. How do I do that? Does that mean 2x what I'm doing now, more or less? Maybe. Again, everybody's circumstances are different. And opportunity. We don't, I think we get comfortable as things go on and we stop seeking opportunity. But the people that I mentioned, the $1 million plus salespeople, they never stop seeking opportunity. That's the fundamental difference that I've noticed. There may be other factors, but that's the big one that sticks out to me between the multi-hundred or $100,000 a year sellers versus the $1 million a year sellers. They're always looking for opportunity.
All right, I'm going to wrap this episode up here with my final thought is consistency in a way that makes sense will make you money, but the sacrifice has to be worth it. If you're putting in hours and you're not seeing no progress in your goals or your life, then this ain't working. You could be making $1 million, but if you're spending $2 million, right? Like, and you're working your butt off, like this isn't working. You can grind, you can do whatever you want. If it's not paying off at the end of the road, of course, you're not going to be motivated to go out there and get things done. And at the end of the day, this business is you. Unfortunately, I hate to break it to everybody. If you don't go, if you don't work, if you don't go to the stores, if you don't go to the sources, if you don't list your items, nothing happens. And that's the biggest thing we have to face. And some days suck, some days don't. This day doesn't suck. And because I'm sitting here talking to Johnny, right? So I can't complain ever about, recording these on Sunday mornings. But yeah, that's going to do it for this week's episode. We'll talk to you all next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.